This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And our first story today really is looking at the fact that the MOH has said that positive COVID-19 cases with mild symptoms or who are asymptomatic can quarantine at home. And they've released guidelines on what to do, who would fit this criteria. So we want to talk about how this will actually, I guess, benefit the healthcare system or hopefully help to lighten the load, as well as what it's like to quarantine at home.
So just to go over some of those announcements that were made yesterday, whether you can or not quarantine at home is going to be determined through assessments done by medical health professionals at the COVID-19 assessment centres. And those who will be allowed to home quarantine will have to be those who are asymptomatic or if you only have mild symptoms. You also can't be from high-risk groups like either being a senior citizen or have any chronic diseases.
Yeah, so we actually spoke about this yesterday. I'm not sure if you heard, because we covered it in the segment where we talk about what the DG or what the ministry has announced. But essentially, if you are quarantining at home, then you must stay alone in a separate room, preferably with an attached bathroom. If there is, however, no option but to share, then all surfaces that are touched must be cleaned. Face-to-face interactions with others in the house must be avoided. If it can't be, then everybody has to wear a mask. And the person who's under quarantine needs to report their status daily through the MySajatra app or to the medical officer in charge. And if symptoms get worse, then call the COVID-19 Assessment Centre.
So the DG did have additional advice for these people who will be home quarantining. And these include your basic stuff, really, but maybe things that we don't think about. Washing your hands frequently, practicing proper coughing etiquette and making sure that you dispose of your tissues and so on after you've coughed. Washing all of your food utensils properly so that you can reuse them. To ensure that the place that you're staying in has proper ventilation, perhaps by opening a window and so on. And finally, don't receive any visitors. So those are just some of those things that you'll have to observe if you are one of those people who are asked to quarantine at home after being tested positive.
So, you know, what comes to mind actually is that very early on in the pandemic, I remember reading an article in the New York Times detailing a woman's experience of quarantining, or rather having her husband quarantine at home. This was in New York at really the height of the pandemic for them, right? At a point where the hospital systems were overloaded and people were having difficulty deciding whether or not they needed to go see a doctor, whether they could stay at home. And reading these criteria or reading these actions that you're supposed to take, it reminded me so much of that, because essentially they were sharing an apartment and they were a three-person family. So the wife herself, the writer, and the daughter were still healthy enough to care for their husband and dad. But the process of going through it was so grueling. And this wasn't someone who was asymptomatic, of course. They were fully symptomatic. And the process of caring for the person, but also of keeping the house scrupulously clean because you'd want to avoid falling ill. I remember reading that and finding that incredibly affecting and stressful.
Mm, and I do think that for many of us, it's a big leap to go from thinking, okay, if I do test positive, then I will go to a hospital or I'll be put in a center, to now thinking, I'll just do it at home. It's scary, I think, depending on whether you live alone or whether you live with people. It's scary in different ways. And I think even if I were to put myself in those shoes, so many questions in my mind. And I think the other thing, on a more practical aspect, of course, is the question of monitoring, I suppose. I know that you have to check in with the MySajatra app, but beyond that, whether it will be possible to make sure that everyone who does test positive adheres to these SOPs, particularly not going out and coming into contact with others.
So that's it. I think based on the conversations that we've been having on the show, you know, based on what all of you have said, I think there is a huge trust deficit that exists right now. In some ways, among Malaysians, I think the early feel-good spirit of Kita Jaga Kita is starting to dissipate a little bit. And now it's more like, everybody needs to jaga themselves because you know what, if you don't, we'll all fall ill. And I think the spirit of that is slightly changing. And we're definitely seeing that in terms of how people are reacting to quarantining at home. Because the concern is, like you said, who's going to actually make sure that everybody who is supposed to be at home stays at home the whole time? So I just think that there are so many different levels. On the one hand, you have the emotional state of home quarantiners, of those who have been told, please stay at home, take care of yourselves and monitor yourself, and the anxiety associated with that and for your family. And on the flip side, you have people outside the home looking in and going, yeah, but are you staying home?
Mm. And I mean, also just the question of can this really work when we are already strapped? That we've been told so many times that the system is strapped. In fact, the idea to home quarantine is because of that as well, because there are not enough resources to have people come in and stay in centres or in hospitals. With that being the case, do we have enough resources to make sure that this engine keeps running?
So let us know. Do you have questions about this home quarantine process? I know that I do. I have quite a number of them. You can send them our way. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. Particularly if you are someone who actually has gone through it or know someone who has, also please feel free to share your experiences. After this, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Christopher Lee, infectious diseases physician, to find out a little bit more. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And we are talking today about home quarantining. So this is because the MOH has released guidelines on what to do, when you can home quarantine. And also, this is, I think, something new that's entered the picture, right? Prior to this, the expectation was always that if you were found to be COVID positive, then you would go to a hospital or you would go to the low-risk quarantine centres. But now that conversation is shifting a little bit. So we want to know, I mean, do you have questions or experiences in this area? I think, I don't know, I just have so many questions about how this is going to work. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now crossing over to Dr. Christopher Lee, infectious diseases physician. Dr. Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what do you think of the guidelines for home quarantine that have been released? And what do you think work and what could perhaps be done better?
Right. Well, I think it's clearly something that we have to explore with now because of the current situation in the country, especially in the hotspots. So those patients who are in Category 1, which that means they have no symptoms at all, or Category 2, they have very minimal symptoms with the COVID, will be considered for home quarantine. So not everybody. It will be only for those in those categories, and as well as they have the facilities at home that allow home quarantine to be done. So when somebody is found positive, they'll assess the patient's current situation health-wise and also look at his home facilities to see whether home quarantine can be done.
So what sorts of challenges do you foresee with this home quarantine move?
Of course, in the past, I think we have tried home quarantine before during the early months of the pandemic. And because of there was poor compliance, some people left their homes, you know, secretly and things like that. The Ministry of Health decided everybody goes into the hospital or low-risk quarantine centres. But because of the situation in the country now, the numbers are really significantly high. We have to go back to this home quarantine platform. Now, will there be concerns? Yes. One area will be on cost compliance. Will people stay at home like they're supposed to? Though I think Ministry of Health is using My Sejahtera to try to check on compliance as well. And of course, I'm sure they will also do the periodic checks to make sure people do stay at home. Now, especially with the emergency order, I mean, there's a lot more a bite in what the government can do, and hopefully people comply. The other concern, obviously, is the patient may be in Category 1 or 2 at the first contact, but over the next few days, of course, some patients could deteriorate and they could get a bit more serious. they need to get into the hospital fairly quickly. In the past, there have been some issues about trying to contact the local health office to get assistance to bring them to the hospital. But I think, again, we are, the Ministry of Health is using MySejahtera and using that platform so that the patients, if they are deteriorating, they can update their status daily, and therefore the people at ministry will know who is not doing well, and they can hopefully come and assess you and then decide whether you need to come into a hospital. So we need to get that helpline working well and robustly, and that's important for the safety of the patients. So I think in terms of the concerns about home quarantine, there'll be number one, compliance. Number two will be the helpline, yeah, if patients need help. And I guess the lastly is to make sure that it's safe to quarantine at home. It's always a fine line if people will share a house and things like that. So there's a lot of self-discipline and self-purpose in what we can do at home. So a lot depends on the patients themselves and their family members.
So we just wanted to touch on this because there have been some accounts on social media, anecdotally as well, that occasionally there isn't follow-up from MOH when you're quarantined at home. Some people receive the call, they self-quarantine, and subsequently they don't hear anything or they're not sure what else to do. What should a patient do if this happens?
I think there are two things you can do. Number one, I know in MySejahtera now, there is a section whereby you can click to say that I have still... to inform the Ministry of Health or the people who managed MySejahtera that I've yet to hear from the health people, the health department. So you can, actually there's a button for you to click. So if there's a click there, I think you will flag something at HQ and then they will try to get in touch with you, I'm sure. The second option obviously is they also provide a phone number, which is what is currently being given now, and for you to try to call the local Pejabat Kesehatan, you know. Hopefully now you have two ways of trying to get help. Hopefully that, I'm sure Ministry of Health will strengthen that part, because now that, since this is a national policy now, they will have to strengthen that bit of it. But at the moment there are two ways, through MySejahtera and of course the local phone call to the health department. The other thing, of course, if the patient suddenly becomes quite ill, almost like if, and you feel that there's an emergency, then you, of course, you can still really have to, then you call 999. No, of course, that is only a last resort, because normally if you bring patients into casualty, that they are designated vehicles to do so. But of course, if it's really, really an emergency, then call 999 and see what they can do to help you.
Now, if an individual is identified as a close contact but hasn't yet been contacted by the Ministry of Health, what should that person do?
Okay. Well, I think besides waiting, obviously, it's... comply with all the guidelines which has already been published on what you should do at home. The important thing is this. Number one, you're in contact. Doesn't mean you're infected. But I think we must think through it as a worst-case scenario. Expect to be infected. Therefore, take precautions at home to make sure your family members or your housemates are protected. So the standard guidelines, stay in your own room if you are able to do that. Try not to share bathroom facilities if you can. If you can't, then each time they need to be washed down after you use it. Try to minimize contact with the other house members or housemates. And use a mask. If you ever come out in the common area, use a mask, and preferably come out only when the others are not around. Don't share a table with your housemates in your own room until the PKD or the health office gets in touch with you. And if, let's say, the wait is rather long, then, of course, as I mentioned, a section in the MySejahtera app for you to inform them or to remind them.
Dr. Chris, I don't want to sound alarmist, but I think one part of our conversation.
I like you when you all say this, you're being alarmist. Okay,
yes, brace yourself. Yes. So, I think one of the things that we've talked about, or you've brought it up a few times actually, is the idea that the fear here, or one element of safety, patient safety, is the possibility of taking a turn, right, or of suddenly feeling worse. And I just was curious whether, in your experience, there are indicators that people can look out for. I'm thinking here of people who live alone and who therefore might not have somebody around them or someone in the house to kind of call or, you know, step in should there be an emergency.
Right. I think the most common thing is a persistent fever is one bad sign, all right? Many patients who do well, and that's why we pick category 1 and 2. Category 1, no fever, category 2, mild fever. Most times the fever, for a large proportion, more than 85-90% of patients, the fever will last only for a very short while and it will go away. But if the fever persists, that can be a worrying sign. The other thing, of course, is the beginning to have shortness of breath. Now, shortness of breath may not occur initially when you're at rest. You're sitting in bed or watching television. By the time if you're short of breath at rest, that means things are pretty, pretty bad. But a more sensitive thing is, see whether you feel short of breath if you move around a little bit. Let's say, you know, you walk up and down your room, you know, 10, 20 times, and you feel a bit short of breath or a bit short of breath compared to normal, then that could be the early symptoms that the things might be getting worse. So what we call exertional dyspnea, that means shortness of breath on exertion and a persistent fever. I think these are good symptoms to warn you that things may not turn out so good, yeah, and then call for help.
So on the flip side of someone being alone, there are other anxieties that come with if you live with family or if you live with others, right? For those positive patients who are going to quarantine at home and who might be worried about infecting the others that they live with, what would your advice be to them?
Well, I think the guidelines that are given up by ministry and also the other agencies, including some of the NGOs, would be, as I mentioned, you know, it all depends on your house facilities, whether you have your own room, and really preferably you have your own room. If you did share a place, well, you have to stop sharing a room with someone. You have to be on your own, really preferably your own bathroom facilities, and minimize contact. It'd be great to have people in the house who can help you. You know, they can bring food for you and things like that, so they can send food to your door and you just collect it from the door. Make sure your garbage, you sort it out yourself, in your garbage, put it in your bags, tag it up so that your other people in the house can dispose of that for you in a safe way. Of course, we also need to educate the people in the house, not just only the patient, but also the other housemates, that they should minimize contact with you whenever possible. Use handphone as much to communicate to each other and just try to minimize contact, you know. I know it's challenging. That's why it's important for the health, public health people to assess whether a patient has suitable facilities for sharing. For those who, let's say, share a house with a lot of people or share a room with two or three other individuals, and there's no way they can have a single room and or things like that, or they have other vulnerable people in the household and it's very packed. So these, if they find that it's not suitable to quarantine at home, they will be brought in to the low-risk quarantine centres. So that's still an option. That's still an option. But we're trying to reduce that so that the pressure is taken away from the hospitals as such, so that we can concentrate on the more sick patients.
And lastly, and a bit of a tangent, the MOH is adopting a new approach to only conduct COVID-19 swab tests on close contacts if they display symptoms. How do you see this changing our strategy in terms of and also affecting our management of the pandemic?
Yeah, well, I think in terms of managing the control, there is a trade-off, clearly. Obviously, the Ministry of Health is overwhelmed in terms of testing, and they are deciding on this is because they can't cope, isn't it? That's clear. So they are focusing, and it's the standard playbook for pandemics. When the situation has become a bit more dire, we will focus on those who are sick or symptomatic. So it's standard. It's not something Ministry of Health came up with last night or yesterday. It's in the playbooks. So you'll focus on those who are not well. But the important thing to remind everyone, anyone who's a close contact will be quarantined, even though you have no symptoms and therefore won't be tested, and therefore you may not know whether you actually got infected or not. But the fact that you were asymptomatic, but you were a close contact, it will still quarantine you for the same duration of time. So the fact that your chance of infecting others will still be minimized in that sense. So in terms of public health, we can still apply that public health intervention, just that our numbers, we will have fewer cases detected. So it's important to remind the public, if when they start doing this, and they have started doing it already in some places, I think, the numbers will be less. It will seem as if we have fewer cases in the community. But because this is a change in the goalposts have changed a little bit now, isn't it? So we're not testing as many contacts anymore, so the numbers may drop. Nevertheless, so we've been focusing on those patients who are sick. So every case you detect now is someone who has symptoms. We have taken away the asymptomatics. And I think as Ministry of Health has shown in the last few months, a large portion of our patients that we have found positive, I think 50%, almost 50% are asymptomatic, maybe even higher. So our numbers may drop. Once we have applied this policy, our numbers may seem to drop in terms of contact investigations.
Dr. Chris, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much. Stay safe.
You too. That was Dr. Christopher Lee, infectious diseases physician, giving his take on the home quarantine guidelines that have been released by the ministry, and also, I think, giving very actionable tips on what to do if you find yourself in that situation. We want to know, is this something that you've experienced? Is it something that you've heard of? Do you have questions? Send them our way. That number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After the 5:30 news, we are also going to be hearing from somebody who has been home quarantining just to share their experience and how it's going. So that's coming your way after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.